So are we starting here? I hear us.
Yes, here we are. Welcome to the New Spirit Radio Show by Nova Spiritus. And I am Michael McClellan, and also my co-host is Tom Bigley. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Michael. That's me.
Was that opening music kind of jumpy?
Yeah, well, the volume kept moving and changing, and all of a sudden it seemed like it disappeared. So anyway, we'll deal with that one. We missed you.
Well, thank you. Sorry I couldn't connect on the radio, but I was listening, and you did a great job, and I got to visit you're welcome. Got to visit my partner in Washington and the kids and the grandkids and had a wonderful time, even though it rained most of the time. I guess that's not unusual for up there. But I had a good break, a well-needed break. So thanks for doing the radio show. Good job, Tom. And
thanks.
I'm glad to be back.
Well, we enjoy having you. I know people were mentioning about glad that you're here, and yeah, we enjoyed it, and glad you had a good time being, you know, free for a bit, having your time out.
Yeah, it was a good time, and Sylvia is doing a little bit better. You know, I don't know. I know that you did announce that she is back here in California, and you know, getting better every day. So we'll see how things go with her. Of course, you know, we'll always lots of prayers and that she get better and better, and you know, get back with us so that we can enjoy her again too.
Absolutely, I'm going to include prayers tonight in our study group to go along with that. I wanted to add something real quick. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
All right. I was going to add some preliminary notes here. Again, chat for those that like to chat or want to chat on the show. We do have a chat control. Bob Ingold is our helper, who's also a deacon at our San Jose church. He's going to be heads up the chat control. Chatting is free. You can sign up. Yes, it looks like you're signing up as a host, but that's unfortunately how Blog Talk Radio works. The alternative is you can send an email to, you know, send your questions in, and that would be at newspirit@novus.org. So you can send emails there. We'll get those and read those as we get them in. If you want to call in and ask questions, make sure you, when the operator answers, just press 1. It'll let us know that you got a question. Otherwise, you're welcome to listen on the phone, too. So the phone number's there for you. And again, the pictures of us, of Michael and I, the question is, who is who? Which one is Michael and which one's Tom? We had some fun comments last week about that one. But anyway, that's all I got for right now.
All right, well, should we go ahead and just get right into it?
Sure. I'm going to go ahead and start with, let's do number 6 and see what great information we have here from Sylvia. 1, 2, and 3.
Chapter 4, Miracles and the End of Life. I've witnessed plenty of cures and healings in this life that most people would term miracles. In the majority of these cases, though, what was at work was, in fact, patient will. So many men and women have cured themselves, often with help from the medical community, that I'm convinced it was their own will that did the work. They simply refused to give up and die. I've always maintained that very few of us know the power we contain. If we focus with pure intent and a truly passionate will, there's almost nothing we can't do. It's just like those stories we've all heard in which a diminutive person lifted a car off an accident victim or performed some other miraculous feat in a time of crisis. I frequently said that if we have the desire, we can regenerate a lost limb, for that's how powerful our minds can be. You can heal yourself or almost any illness that doesn't go against your chart by engaging your willpower and programming your body and mind. Unfortunately, you may follow these suggestions for a while, but then get tired or bored and stop the programming. Yet, what could be more of a priority than your wellness? Talk to your body over and over again using positive affirmations and phrases such as, I heal and beat this illness, or my entire immune system works to rid me of this disease. It's also vitally important to do your programming with feeling. Get angry at having this affliction and use that anger to give your words power. Don't mess around with being passive. Become emotional. Yell and scream if you have to. Commanding your body with orders such as, go in there, cells, and fight off this illness. Get off your butt, immune system, and activate. Mind and body, do not give up in fighting off this disease. We will be healed. The other thing I want to emphasize is the time you must devote to your programming. Yes, a few minutes a day are all you need. But if you can spare more, by all means do so. If you're in a hospital or laid up in bed, what else are you going to do with yourself? Spend as much time as you can meditating and talking to your mind and body, as it will also help you get out of bed and recover more quickly. Keep in mind that programming will never interfere with any other healing methods being done on you, be they conventional or unconventional. Life here on Earth gives all of us problems in one way or another. We must deal with life's challenges, and it's how we deal with them that determines our outlook and the inevitable effect it will have on our health and happiness. Let's think about happiness itself for a moment. Just what is it? Is it having everything we want and need? Is it being independently wealthy? Is it being in love? Is it being active and fit? Is it doing work that we enjoy? Is it having a wonderful family? All of these can certainly be aspects of happiness, and I could list many more. When we get right down to it, however, isn't it really a frame of mind? Most of us find ourselves in a state where we have moments of joy intermingled with moments of pain, and life can wear us down if we let it. If our outlook isn't positive, we're going to become ill, unhappy, cynical, jealous, lazy, angry, bitter, argumentative, and nitpicky. And soon we'll find ourselves taking out our poor attitude on the folks around us, which just makes the situation worse. When we decide to blame others for our plight and take things out on them, this leads to the breakup of friendships and even families. The mightiest weapon in the fight against life's adversity is your mind. In order to be happy and give yourself the power to cure any disease or illness, you must change your mental outlook. Constantly program yourself to be upbeat and joyful by using positive affirmations and telling your mind and body to be the best person you can possibly be. After that, start doing for others, be it your loved ones, members of a charitable cause, or deserving strangers. The activation of your mind and body will help you feel wonderful, both about other people and yourself. I promise that if you do so, you won't have the time or inclination to dwell upon your own problems as much, and any negativity will greatly dissipate or even disappear. You'll create a positive aura around you, and you'll learn to love yourself. From this point, ultimate happiness and miraculous healing are easily within your grasp. If you consume nutritious foods and beverages, exercise regularly, keep a positive mental outlook, and continually program your body and mind, you're guaranteed to have optimal health. Yet, at some point or other, the inevitable is going to happen. You're going to pass over to the other side. The problem with death is that it causes so much fear in people. But what's behind that fear is actually the lack of knowledge about what happens after we pass. I'm one of the lucky ones because I know what happens. And I've tried to convey that to countless people through my books, lectures, and media appearances. I know that unless the heavens part and you can actually see what awaits you after you die, most of you will have a bit of uncertainty when I tell you that you'll be going to a true paradise. Rest assured that you'll be going to the most majestic, magical place you can think of. Whether you think you've lived a good life or not, your soul learns by your own experiences. So when you go home, you'll judge yourself and decide if you want to come back to do it right the next time. There is no judgment day awaiting you. Mother and Father God forgive you for any transgressions because they know that you're human and can err. You'll also see where you erred when you review your life on the other side, and then you'll take appropriate action to correct those mistakes. That's the sum total of your judgment, which is nothing but a learning process to make your soul more spiritual by obtaining additional knowledge through experience. If you need 100 chances or more to get it right, Mother and Father God will give them to you because they love you so much and you are so dear to them. I've often said that death will be your happiest endeavor because you get to go home. This life on earth is so fleeting compared to the eons of time spent in the true reality of the other side. Even if you live many lives, your true home is always waiting for you. And remember that your loved ones who have passed over are ecstatic, and they're in the paradise of the other side and don't have to suffer the negativity of earth anymore. They're anticipating the day when you can join them, and that joyful reunion is something you can absolutely look forward to. Now it's time to turn this book over to my beloved spirit guides, who will impart their remarkable wisdom to help you become a master at psychic healing.
She's done. And that reminds me, along the lines of passing over, when I do regressions with people, I make it a point when they have crossed over, when somebody's in a regression for a past life regression, and I recognize that they're they've experienced the dying process, you know, passing over. It's a release. I get them to remember that. I say, hey, remember that, because that's as easy as it is. It's just letting go. And I think that brings a lot of, calm to people about the dying process, you know, the unknown. Well, they've just experienced it with the regression, and I've done it, and I think it's a wonderful thing.
So when you do a regression, you have people make the transition to the other side?
Yes. If they're going through that, if they're at a point that they go to, you know, we find if they've taken themselves to the end of a life that they're re-experiencing, and they tell me, oh, I think I've died, or I think I've crossed over, I'll stop them and say, hey, you know, remember what that feels like. Tell me what that feels like to you, and remember that, because I usually hear that it's something wonderful, that it's just like an enormous release of, you know, the worries and concerns and stresses of this life, and being in the physical body is just a wonderful transition. And I pointed out to them that it's just that easy.
To graduate, yes, and, you know, Sylvia taught us that it is always good to have them make that transition, and usually there is someone to meet them, and they have a message, which is pretty awesome, you know, sometimes what people get. For people that don't know, Tom actually does not have access to the chat room. You know, Bob is helping with it. and you know, I can read it, so I really wanted to just make a comment. Apparently, Mario, you're going to be going like through some tough times and stuff, so prayers for you and your mom to you know, get through this. You know, be a warrior, and I'm sure you're going to be able to help out your mom, you know, going forward. And Kinsey's mom, I'm glad that you joined us. You know, I know that you were close to not joining us tonight, but we are glad that you know, you joined us, and hopefully you feel the connection and feel the love, and sorry that you're missing, you know, Kinsey tonight, but I'm glad that you are with us online tonight. So God bless you.
All right, we want to get on to the next portion.
Yes. Yeah, this is
okay.
It's excited because now it's also information from Francine and Raheem. So,
yeah,
looking forward to it.
Great. Here we go. Hold on to your seats. Buckle your seatbelts.
The chapters in part two alternate between Francine and Raheem, and for each chapter, I'll indicate who's speaking. This is chapter 5, Passion, Vehemence, and Healing, featuring the words of Raheem, my other guide. I know you've heard this before, but I want you to really comprehend it. Anyone can heal. It's not an appointment from God. It's a freely given ability. As Sylvia always says, the operative word here isn't can or may. It's should. In other words, not only can everyone heal, but everyone should. You can also heal yourself, of course. If you are suffering from a disease or in a great deal of pain, then you ought to consult with a physician. But you can learn to put yourself in a state in which you can alleviate the discomfort, very much like you have in your world with the controlled breathing of Lamaze. You can also utilize meditation or lay hands upon yourself. The correct way to lay hands on yourself or somebody else varies depending on what your gender is, or what you wish it was, or you feel you truly are. If you're a female, place your left hand directly on the affected area and cover it with your right hand. If you're male, do just the opposite. Put your right hand on the area and cover it with your left. If, however, you're a female who's more in touch with the masculine side of yourself, then I'd recommend that you use your right hand first. And if you're a male who feels your feminine side more, use your left hand first. It has nothing to do with your sexuality and everything to do with whether you feel that your masculine or feminine side is stronger. I'd advise you to try your hands both ways to see which one brings you the most energy. This only takes a few moments and can give you insight into which hand is stronger. You can lay hands on any part of your body, be it your chest, your abdominal area, your back, or any other area. You can also have someone else put their hands over yours, which will enhance the overall effect, or have them lay hands on your hand to reach parts. Realize that this healing technique gets its power from God and emissaries, such as angels. You can actually pull Father God's sustaining energy from the atmosphere to channel through you to the person who needs healing, whether it's yourself or someone else. You can direct your own energy, but it isn't nearly as effective as just giving yourself up to become a tube or conduit for God's outside energy. Sometimes, in observance, I see healings that go on too long. When you turn on a faucet, it doesn't tend to trickle, it pours. So don't stand there and only expect a trickle. Really open up that tap and let the power pour through you. But don't do a long procedure in which you have people sit for 20 or 30 minutes while you work on them. The first few minutes is where the rapid healing occurs. And if you go beyond 5 minutes, then you've probably lost the individuals. They'll become very agitated and uncomfortable if they have to sit for that length of time. In this enlightened age, certain cultures are still adhering to the remedies practiced by their ancestors. Asian medicine is perhaps the best known example of this, but many of what you call primitive tribes, such as the Inuit, Native American, even Celtic cultures, have kept within their structures ancient techniques that they know can cure. Now, as far as healing is concerned, there are no primitive tribes, unless you want to talk about North Americans, who are certainly primitive when it comes to intelligence. I say this knowing that the continent probably has the finest doctors, hospitals, and medical equipment on the planet, but they're more ensconced in traditional Western medicine than anywhere else. The ancient modes of healing employed by shamans and herbalists, on the other hand, have given rise to the movement of holism or holistic medicine, which is nothing more than treating the whole person rather than just the symptoms of illness or disease. Lots of modern-day holistic practices also stem from Wicca, a goddess-based religion that has deep roots in the earth and the natural order of things. It's believed that Wicca can be traced back centuries before Christianity to the old Celtic religions practiced by the Druids. Wiccans were the original healers. Unfortunately, early Christians viewed their cures as works of the devil and branded them as witches or warlocks. People today still tend to confuse Wicca with witchcraft, or they think that it's a sinister practice devoted to the black arts. Since my vocation on the other side is the study of magic, I can tell you that true followers of Wicca aren't evil at all. Rather, they have a beautiful religion steeped in Mother God and nature. Their use of herbs in healing has contributed greatly to the movement of herbalism today. In fact, many cures that bygone generations swore by are now being studied more closely to see if they have genuine healing properties. Take chicken soup, for example. It turns out that this old standby has an enzyme in it that not only helps relieve symptoms of the common cold or flu, it can cure everything from dysentery to dyspepsia. Similarly, mother's milk is being experimentally used in the treatment of certain types of cancer. No one has ever discerned the fact that cancer is viral. Medicine has professed profusely that it's systemic, but I'm here to tell you that it's only systemic in the aspect that you can lower your immune system to the point that you'll get it. Every single one of you who's reached the age of 40 has had, at any given time, minor strokes, all types of arrhythmia, heart palpitations, and possibly ulcerations of the colon, and you've also produced cancer cells. What happens is that your body's antibodies attack these and tend to prevent you from getting any serious illness or disease. If you do become sick, it's probably because your natural immune system was lowered to the point that your antibodies couldn't battle and eliminate the ailments sufficiently. One of the ways to bolster your own natural immune system is to stay away from certain types of stress. You on Earth are so worried about stress that you're stressing about stressing. That's why it's important to determine which types are bad and which are good. The strain of taking care of a loved one, for instance, can be an irritation, an aggravation, or a painful process. But because it's done with love, it's not a bad type of stress that will kill you. Even if you're frantically running around all the time to try to get things done and worrying about your job, bank account, marriage, or children, you're not necessarily dealing with bad stress. While everyday living can be stressful, it won't kill you. Strangely enough, it's the stress of nothingness that does it. The worst stress that can ever be perpetuated upon human beings is boredom or malaise, the sense that you've given up. You lack any passion. You no longer look forward to what's going to come next, and you don't even want to get out of bed. Everyone goes through periods where they wonder, what am I doing? Why am I here? Yet when it goes on year after year, the will breaks. When this happens, we on my side see the body's antibodies weaken. Nothing fights anymore because the will is the ruler of the whole domain of the body. You might say, but I've been depressed, agitated, and irritated. I've had nightmares. I'm phobic and I'm obsessive. Well, that won't kill you. What takes the life out of you is no longer having any obsessions, fears, or purpose in life. When it comes to spreading negativity, some of the worst offenders can be found in the medical profession. I'm not knocking these individuals because you must go and see them if you're ill. But if they tell you that something is horribly wrong with you, you don't have to accept that. It's like Sylvia has said so many times, take control of your life. Take control back to you. It's not just a theory, but a fact that if you have no purpose in life, aren't active with your mind and body, and have no passion, then your body is left wide open for disease and illness. I know you've been told that if you hate others or have anger, you'll get cancer. If you suppress your feelings, that can be true. But I must also remind you that Jesus said to hate wrongdoing and evil. The so-called Christian philosophy, never get angry, don't subject yourself to hatred, always be passive, is controlling. When you're controlled, it's much easier to herd you around. But if you are full of ideas and are a free thinker, you'll chafe at that idea. You may be led by others or want knowledge, but you won't want to be controlled. You'll want to work on your own spiritual journey, which is the most passionate way to live. Get excited about something in life. Do something that's maybe so out of character that you get your endorphins moving. Your lives on earth are too placid, so try to do something that's different or has a little risk to it. I also believe that everyone should keep a journal and jot down their feelings in it. Now, I know that not everyone is a writer, but you'll be surprised at what it can do for you. If you keep a daily or weekly or even monthly journal about your life and then periodically read through it, you'll be surprised by the kinds of insights you get about your life and what's going on around you, as well as what you need to change or try. Getting back to healing, you can reverse almost anything at any point by the will or judgment center. I don't care how close someone is to death, even if the body has caved in or gone into renal failure. If the will is engaged, that person will still live. Yet be very careful that you're not overriding someone else's will. It's not that it's bad if you do, but you wouldn't want him or her to hold on just because you don't want to say goodbye. Let's talk about chemotherapy and radiation therapy. On my side, we find that these treatments are somewhat barbaric. It's not that we're totally against them, but we do find them to be terribly inhumane. And it seems that there's no dignity in dying anymore. People on these types of treatment lose their hair, become weak, drop a lot of weight, lose the life sheen in their skin, and go through tremendous pain and suffering. This is a case of the cure sometimes being worse than the disease is. I'm not trying to influence anyone in any way, but I don't believe in these methods. I realize that some individuals are cured with them, but I feel that there are better alternatives. If you're deciding whether or not to use these therapies, I'm not trying to dissuade you. I'm just telling you what we see over here, and I want you to be completely informed before you make your decision. Look at everything objectively and through righteous eyes, as a person with logic would. Sylvia is very presupposed to Western medicine, but even she has never been for chemotherapy or radiation because they destroy all the antibodies in the body. If you talk to any physician who's honest, he or she will tell you it's poison. The key to good health is to keep your immune system powerful and highly trained. You can do this by not allowing negative programming to bring your defenses down and by fighting any illness with passion and vehemence. Say no to illness and mean it. This way you'll enact your will to control the situation and heal yourself. The more emotion your will has behind it, the stronger your will becomes. Vehemence is simply the combination of emotion, passion, belief, and knowledge. Summoning it up brings about power and focus. the optimal word to use with vehemence is no. No, I won't get cancer. Or no, I won't get heart trouble. Take the words hope and believe out of your vocabulary. You don't hope or believe you will be healed. You know you will be healed.
And I always enjoy listening to when Raheem talks about vehemence. That was one of the words that he would drive into us about vehemence. It brings up your emotion. You know, stand for who you are. Don't be mealy-mouth about it. You know, stand up and say, this is me. This is who I am. This is what I want to do. And, you know, again, this is an emotional planet. This is about working with our emotions, you know, as far as our spirituality, improving our spirituality.
Yes, he says, say it with emotion, you know. So there was a lot of questions on the chat line, or a question about whether a journal is helpful. And a lot of people do feel that it is helpful. I know that sometimes, you know, when and it is like a diary, you know, or just getting your thoughts out. It's almost like, you know, at night we kind of filter, you know, everything that's happened like during the day. Well, sometimes, you know, I feel like there's stuff going on, and if I can just put it down, you know, on paper, then it makes it more clear, and I kind of see, you know, how far I've come and continue, you know, in the direction I'm going.
Well, the other thing, too, just when you started saying that, you know, one of the things we talk about for relieving stress or getting frustrations out, write it out on paper. If you're asking for, something from the universe, you know, programming the universe helps you in a fashion, get it down on paper. If you're frustrated with somebody, you know, we talk about writing a letter to them. You're not going to send it to them. It's writing a letter to them. You're getting that energy out so it's not bottled up in you. That's another positive purpose for that, the journal, in addition to what you were saying, is, you know, you can track your progress on things.
Right. It's also Raheem talking about letters to the universe, you know, to help, you know, create a change or better a situation at work or, you know, with family, and see, you know, if somebody is verbally mean to you, you know, kind of visualize a purple cloth around their mouth so that they can only, you know, speak truth, and or other actions to see these, you know, people acting humane or not even seeing you. You can just be, you know, invisible, you know, to these people, and so that they don't have to bother you. You don't have to get plugged into whatever is going on with them. So, good stuff. Good information.
Good. Yeah. Are we ready for the next?
Yeah.
All right. And then after that, we can decide what kind of time we got left for the meditation, whether we do one more or do the meditation after this.
One quick
right.
comment, Tom.
Go ahead.
That Bob reminded me in the private chat room that, you know, the ministers at church, you know, we only put our hands on top of your head. Because that really is, you know, appropriate, you know, at the spiritual services that we have in Washington or here in San Jose or Vegas or Michigan. You know, when we do healings after services, we will only put our hands on top of your head. But if you have, you know, a friend or family member that you totally trust and want them to do the hands-on healing, then, you know, let them put, you know, their hands wherever, you know, your problem or challenge is. You know, let them, you know, if it's your back, you know, have them put their hands on your back or your neck or whatever. But just, you know, to protect us, you know, at services, we'll be only doing it, you know, on top of your head. Okay?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the reminder.
All righty.
Okay, we're going to go to the next one here. Here we go.
Chapter 6, Addressing the Glands and Integrating Different Kinds of Treatment. This chapter features the words of Francine. To start a healing or program yourself for better health, I begin by addressing your glands. This is what the ancient Asians did. They always used the glandular centers in healing by either using needles with acupuncture or some stimulant to cleanse them. Since your glands are the openings of the body, they'll immediately respond whenever your health is in jeopardy. Be it the thyroid, pineal, or pituitary gland, it will send out a warning to you right away. Whenever you heal people, you must get them to activate their own glandular system. Just ask, is your glandular system in concert with this healing? Even if they don't know what you're saying, speaking the words glandular system will talk to their mind and neurological system to gain access to the glands. Involving the individual's endocrine system, which is in charge of hormones, will help you create healings that are 99% more effective than normal. The pancreatic area provides the body with stamina. If this gets too out of whack, you can get diabetes. The thyroid gland is a motor mechanism of the body. If it goes off, you can develop all kinds of lymphatic problems, such as no energy, extreme fluctuations in body temperature, heart palpitations, and hypersensitivity to anything that people say to you, and on it goes. Women have always been told that they're hormonal beings, but they're not the only ones. While men may not have ovaries, this doesn't mean that they're free from hormonal fluctuations. No, males don't menstruate, but they are subject to a type of PMS every month. Any woman who lives with a man will tell you that there's a certain time of the month in which he's off kilter. We also know that men go through a form of menopause. Your master gland, or the pituitary, is what also creates the aging process because of the dispelling of a certain amount of hormones that you have through your lifetime. When that supply is depleted, the aging process begins. This makes the hair turn gray and the collagen in the face go away, which causes wrinkling. Then the body's organs begin to slump and sag inside. This isn't just gravity at work, but rather because hormones have shut down. Just like everything in your body, your pituitary gland is sentient and has knowledge, so you can speak to it. So tell your pituitary gland that you're not aging. Many of you think aging comes down to genetics, but it actually is responsible for only one-third of the equation, so you can see how much it comes down to programming. It's like Sylvia has often pointed out. People continually say, of course I'm going to get arthritis, my mother did. Of course I'm prone to heart attacks, my father was. What they're doing is telling their cells that they're expecting this to happen, and sure enough, the cells will go along with what's being said. Arthritic problems are actually the result of trapped energy. Yet even when people who keep everything bottled up inside can't release their energy, show arthritic symptoms, they can still be helped by directing programming to their cells. Sylvia was talking to a reputable orthopedic doctor she knows, and he told her, the one thing you always want to give a patient is hope. When his patient asks this man how long they're going to live, he'll say, you can live as long as you wish to. The average age that most of you on Earth will reach is around 90 years old. But as this famous doctor said, hope is strong medicine because it's positive programming. Of course, programming can be positive or negative. When surgeons have talked about how horrible things are going in the operating room, the subconscious mind of the person being worked on tended to hear and then act upon it. Studies found that eliminating negative talk about the patients in surgery cut down on inexplicable deaths in the OR and also aided in speedier recoveries. Thus, surgeons now try to keep things positive as they work. I want to be clear here that I'm not against conventional medicine. if you have a bad heart, you should go and get it fixed, and it's certainly best to start programming before any damage occurs. But you can also use it to go through any surgery with flying colors, recuperate faster, and then state with conviction that you aren't going to get into that bind again. Be sure to use visualization when you do your programming because it makes the technique stronger. Think of how miraculous it is that the human body knows when it has an infection. Cells talk to cells. We can actually see them nudge each other and run together to go to a wound. It's really phenomenal that these tiny cells know they're supposed to rush as an army to the affected area. If you ever get an infection, you can help the healing process by saying, I want lymph fluid to come immediately. I want white blood cells to come in great abundance to fight the infection. I want my mind to see that there isn't a cut there at all. This one little technique can also enhance wellness altogether. Don't negate conventional medicine in any way, but be sure to use your mind to enhance it and speed the healing process. Most doctors agree that the key to healing depends in large part on the outlook and desires of the patient. Conventional medicine is full of great healing tools, but there are also many wonderful alternative treatments out there that are very successful. So if you do happen to get seriously ill, explore all of the methods available, both conventional and alternative, to find what you feel most comfortable with, and then use your mind to augment your choice. You want to bring all the weapons you have at your disposal to fight what ails you. Then you can begin to work with your medicine to make yourself well, rather than just popping a pill and hoping that it does the work for you. Talk to your body and mind in conjunction with taking your medication. Most doctors are trained to diagnose and treat sickness and disease, either with drugs or surgery. Medical schools don't place any real emphasis on programming. If doctors were taught to simply work with the human body and its own defense system and mechanisms, healing would be faster and more complete. And in certain cases, medication would be completely eliminated. Medicine that once worked years ago now isn't as effective because germs have mutated to withstand or negate their effectiveness. As disease becomes more sophisticated, we must start using additional weapons to fight it. And talking to the body can be one of the most effective. Be an active participant in your own wellness. If you see a medical professional, ask him or her about your affliction. Learn everything you can about it, and then find out what you can do to make the healing process faster and more effective, such as additional exercise, a change in diet, or meditation. When it comes to mental illness, know that almost all cases can either be traced to a breakdown in the bridge between the left and right brain or reduced level of the substance known as serotonin. Address your mind and ask that your serotonin be elevated and balanced and that the bridge from your left to right brain be absolutely solid. This tells your brain to heal itself by operating as it should, which will help stabilize mind function and performance patterns. Use in conjunction with any needed medication. This can be very effective in helping you return to normal functioning. Everyone should talk to their bodies as often as necessary to maintain good health. Talk to your white blood cells to fight infection. Talk to your T cells, which play an important part in your immune system. Tell them to up the protein count within them. And talk to your entire vascular system, which brings a fresh blood supply to all parts of the body in general. If you have a problem, talk to the area of the body that controls or affects that particular affliction. Ask your spirit guides to give you information, even to the point of inquiring if you need to go to a doctor to be examined for a certain thing. Pay close attention to the answer you receive. If you're attempting to heal others, have them help you with active participation. While you're doing the healing, tell them to open themselves up to the healing energy and even send you their own energy, which helps in the process. even if these folks are very ill, you can give them a transfusion of healing energy. You will not get what they have. When you receive their energy, you can thread it through your own aura like a dialysis machine, cleanse it, and give it back. You can constantly urge them, work with me to heal yourself. The mind and body are so powerful that they can create miracles. Anyone can learn to heal in varying degrees. When others approach you for healing, not only is it an exchange of energy, but they'll also come to you trusting that you have power. Since they've engaged that possibility in their mind, they're already receptive to your abilities, and you should believe in yourself just as strongly as they do. While I think that you have wonderful alternative medicines and treatments on Earth, many of you are forgetting Western medicine altogether, which is absolutely ridiculous. People are trying to treat themselves with only herbal or unproven methods, and they aren't going to their doctors and they're dying. Now, do I believe in magnetic healing? Yes, I do. Do I believe that crystals have some bearing? Yes. More than Sylvia does, by the way. Do I believe in mind over matter? Of course I do. But I also think you have to be very smart about going to a physician when something is beyond your power or scope. Use all of the alternative medicines and treatments you want, but do so with the aid of medical professionals. If nothing else, you can track whether these methods are working or not. Your physician will work with you, especially if you find that she's more open-minded, and you'll have the added benefit of her knowledge of your illness or disease. Then you'll have a nice mixture of Western medicine working in conjunction with holistic methods to affect a healing or a cure.
So again, cells are sentient. We think of, you know, we've been shared with our friends, Zane and Raheem have told us to think of your cells as thinking beings, they're thinking and alive and talk to each other and, talk to them. It's, you know, even picturing your mind is another form of expressing to what you want. You know, picture yourself with perfect health and your programming for it. In addition, it's right along the lines of what different sports, they're picturing in their mind what they want their body to do. That's a form of programming. So do the same thing about improving your health. Picture in your mind that what does it look like to have healthy glands, healthy bones, healthy muscles? And if even if you don't know exactly, just think of it as this is healthy, this is what I'm looking for.
Definitely, and it's so powerful, the visualization, you know, and the information that you read about people that are good at visualizing, you know, good health or being really good at a sport or whatever, and then they go out there and do it. And it's like because they've already seen them be successful or be healthy. So, great. I think it's time for one of Sylvia's meditations.
I think you're right. All right, let's see. How about I give everybody a moment to get themselves seated somewhere comfortable. Take a few deep breaths just to let out any stresses and strains, worries and concerns. And, of course, if you're driving, just pay attention. Don't close your eyes and just listen along. And, if you miss it, you're driving or something and you want to hear it later, by all means, you know, come back and listen to the archive shows. All the meditations are there. So take a few deep breaths and let out all the stresses and strains and relax, and we're going to
Okay, put your hands upward on your thighs. Surround yourself with the white light of the Holy Spirit. Keep the white light close to you. This is the Holy Spirit's light. Ask your angels, because most of us have 4 to 6 angels. Ask your loved ones also to attend you that have passed over. Ask Father God, Christ consciousness, and even Mother God, because after all, there is a feminine principle to God. For God's sake, what were we women made out of? Ask for all the angels, the thrones, the principalities to attend us tonight, and the room fills up, because this can become our cathedral, our homage to our Lord Jesus Christ, who walks with us, who is a friend to us, who guides us. And then we will promise that we'll live by his words, not just the words that people put in his mouth. And feel that there is a purple light around us, a purple light that is high spirituality. Gold light, which means high-mindedness, relieves us from depression. And then around that, a green light, which is healing. And I want you to bring these lights, as we've done through so many meditations, all the way through your body, as ribbons of light, up to your feet, your ankles, your calves, your knees, your thighs, and stop at any place that gives you problems. And ask for our Lord God to help us with this. Move it all the way up through the pelvic girdle, up through the spinal column, up through the trunk of the body and all the organs therein. Ask for peace of mind as much as you can have on this earth. Ask for infusion of knowledge and that your psychic spiritual ability increases. Moving up through your chest, stomach, breathing, up through your head, all the systems in the body, around the mouth, nose, eyes, forehead. And ask that your energy come up, your depression depletes, because people are getting more and more depressed. Futile feeling, the desert period is over, say. And say, dear God, I know, Jesus, that you are carrying me. I know that if I need to be carried, it's like the footprints in the sand. But that not just so much that you carry me, that I will walk beside you. And moving this energy down through the shoulders, the upper arms, the lower arms, the hands, the fingertips. Now I want you to see yourself now in a field. And it's beginning to be dark, but you still can see ahead of you white flagstone steps leading to a meadow. The women have on very loose-fitting garments. The men have on almost like Christ-like robes. And even though it's beginning to be dark, there's a warm breeze. And so you get to the meadow, soft grass, and a feeling of total protection. Almost as if we're lying together, hand to hand, as the meadow stretches on, for it seems like infinity, but we're holding hands. And we're looking up now at a black sky. The sky is velvet black. And that's amazing, because we don't see a moon, we don't see anything except just soft darkness, black velvet. All of a sudden, one star, a pinpoint of light, appears. We all notice it at the same time. It sparkles with sort of a bluish haze to it. We're fascinated by it, this star, in this black ebony sky. And all of a sudden, we're more aware of our body than we've ever been. We're more aware of where our heels are touching the ground. We're more aware that our calves are touching the grass, that our hips are touching the earth, that our back is on the earth, that our head is cradled on the earth. We're so aware of our body. It seems like every scent we smell, whether it's cedar or pine, tuberose, gardenia, and as we lie there, the star gets bigger and bigger. We're not afraid. It's huge now. We're not even sure whether we're ascending to it or it's descending to us. But as it comes closer, we can see right through the opening. And as we see through the opening, we can see the other side. We can see our loved ones, 3D living color. Our mother who passed away, our father. It's almost as if they've been superimposed or descended to be with us. We lie there transfixed, smiling. We see our uncles, our aunts, even people that we might have known in past lives, our animals. We see the Romanesque buildings behind them, the green rolling hills, the colors that are so majestic. There's no words to describe the green greens, the purples, the whites, glistening. It's almost as if we feel like we want to lift off and go with them. They're smiling. They're not beckoning to us. They just want to show you a window to your life, your real life. Where you came from, where you're going back to. Your husband, a lost love, a sister, a brother, all there, all healthy, all happy. You feel each person to the right and left of you holding your hand. They too are viewing what you're viewing. And all of a sudden, you begin to feel like golden poppet beads strung around the neck of God, each one perfect in its own right, each one singular, each one, like our Lord says, that God knows your name and every hair on your head is numbered. In the midst of all this, you feel the energy of the divine. You feel God's grace shooting through that star right to your solar plexus. You feel the embrace of Christ or whoever your savior may be, whether it's Buddha, Mohammedan, Apollonius, the Bob, whoever it might be. Your messenger, I happen to be Christian. But you feel the loving embrace. The star begins to recede. And yet you lie there in a place of perfect bliss. Right before it begins to recede, though, ask them, the ones that are standing there, waving, loving, beckoning, waiting for you. Say to them, please neutralize the stress that I'm going through. They can, you know. Take with you what is bothering me, and it will neutralize with you. They have the power to do that. The fear of, some people have fear of death, phobias, fears. Defamation, poor self-esteem, anything. Seal them along with your angels, your spirit guide, Christ. Pull it out of you. Take it to the other side and it's absorbed. Because nothing negative lives there. And then you realize what this homesick feeling is. You were there. There's a memory of it there. And if there isn't, in the deepest recesses of your soul, one day it will come back. Even if it takes you to your deathbed, you'll remember it. And the sky is velvet again. And yet you feel so unalone. You feel so merged. You feel so part of the universe. You feel like we so often don't feel. God knows my name. God knows my soul. God knows me intimately. Christ loves me individually and unconditionally. You're not just some speck on the earth's surface. You're gigantic. You're part of God. Bring this energy now right up to the bottoms of your feet, like you did before, except rejuvenation. Feet, ankles, calves, knees, thighs, all the way up through the whole trunk of the body, down through the shoulders, the upper arms, the lower arms, the hands, the fingertips, up through the neck, around the mouth, the nose, the eyes. And ask that the last vestiges, like we always do, of any negativity be absorbed in the white light and all the lights of the Holy Spirit, that your angels encompass you with their wings. And on the count of three, I want you to bring yourself up, all the way up, feeling absolutely marvelous. Now you stand up, you're still holding hands, loving the person next to you. Notice and knowing and feeling we're all connected. Truly we are our brother's keeper, as the Bible says. You walk down the flagstone path all the way back now to yourself. And on the count of three, you bring yourself back to yourself. One, two, three.
Okay.
Bring everybody back?
Up and out. Yeah, I hope so. Shake off all the mind being traveling and the healing that's going on reawaking yourself.
Feeling great. Wonderful meditation. Very powerful. Very powerful. The star meditation. So good job, Tom. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We really appreciate it. Thanks for being connected. And we'll look forward to posting again next week.
Very good. I'm excited. Waiting. Thanks, Bob, for being Bob Engel for our chat control. And again, a reminder about Sunday services in Renton, Washington, San Jose, California, and Taylor, Michigan, and Las Vegas, Nevada. Check out Sylvia. Check out novus.org for times and locations for Sunday services. And if you're wanting to learn more about our philosophy, check out our study group program. We have groups across the country, or you can start your own. And as we get people in your area wanting to join, we'll get you in touch with them and make a larger group out of that. Anything else you want to leave with, Michael?
Yes. Yeah. If you have questions and you want to call me at the office here, my phone number is 408-440-3266. 408-440-3266. Or you can always email me at michael@novus.org. So again, we'll be broadcasting every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, coming to you live from San Jose, California. And we hope you will tune in, keep connected, share the knowledge. We love you, and God bless you.
Very good. See you then.